هو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء لكم منه شراب ومنه شجر فيه تسيمون.
He, it is who sends down water for you from the sky out of which you drink, and out of which grow the plants on which you pasture your cattle.
ينبت لكم به الزرع والزيتون والنخيل والأعناب ومن كل الثمرات إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يتفكرون.
And by virtue of which he causes crops and olives and date palms and grapes of all kinds of fruit to grow for you. Surely, in this there is a great sign for those who reflect.
وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون.
He has subjected for you the night and the day, and the sun and the moon, and the stars have also been made subservient by His command. Surely, there are signs in this for those who use their reason.
وَمَا ذَرَأَ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهُ إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يذكرون.
And there are also signs for those who take heed in the numerous things of various colors that He has created for you on earth.
وهو الذي سخر البحر لتأكلوا منه لحما طريا وتستخرجوا منه حلية تلبسونها وترى الفلك مواخر فيه ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون.
And he, it is who, has subjected the sea that you may eat fresh fish from it and bring forth ornaments from it that you can wear. And you see ships plowing their course through it so that you may go forth seeking his bounty and be grateful to him. And he, it is who, has subjected the sea that you may eat fresh fish from it and bring forth ornaments from it that you can wear. And you see ships plowing their course through it so that you may go forth seeking his bounty. The expression seeking the bounty of your Lord means earning a living by lawful means.
وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وَأَنْهَارًا وَسُبُلًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ.
And he has placed firm mountains on the earth, lest it should move away from you, and has made rivers and tracks that you may find your way. And he has placed firm mountains on the earth. We learn by this that the main advantage of the mountains is to regulate the earth's rotation and the speed of that rotation. Thus, the main function of the mountains is to keep the earth in a stable position that also has been emphasized at other points in the Quran. All other advantages are incidental and peripheral.
Lest it should move away from you, and has made rivers and tracks.
This refers to the natural tracks besides rivers, streams, and ravines. These natural tracks are especially useful in mountainous regions, though this does not detract from their importance in the plains.
وَعَلَامَاتِ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And he has set other landmarks in the earth, and by the stars too do people find their way. And he has set other landmarks. All parts of the earth have not been created alike. Instead, each region has been distinguished by unique landmarks. Of the numerous benefits of these landmarks, the most important is that they help man to identify his path and destination. Man recognizes the true importance of these landmarks, especially in desert regions, which are largely devoid of them.
As a result, he's always in fear of losing his way. More importantly, man also realizes their significance on sea-bound voyages for landmarks are also not evident here, and man is always aware that he can stray. Nonetheless, God has arranged for man's guidance even in the desert and on the sea. Since time immemorial, man has found his way with the help of the stars. Here also, subtle evidence in support of prophethood is put forward. And in the midst of a discourse focused on reinforcing God's unity and His merciful providence, reading this verse, one readily realizes that God, who has so meticulously arranged for man's material needs, could not have disregarded man's moral needs by failing to provide for his guidance. Obviously, the perils and harm involved in losing one's way in a literal and physical sense bear no connection to losing one's way morally, and yet we know that God, out of His compassion, is so concerned with man's material well-being that He has made a variety of arrangements to prevent him from losing his way. He has made tracks into the mountains. He has created landmarks on the plains. He has provided luminous stars in the sky to enable man to know his direction in both deserts and seas. How can we even conceive that a God who is so compassionate, so deeply concerned with man's well-being, would have devised no path that would lead man to his salvation? How can we imagine that God would have placed no landmarks to mark out the way leading to a man's success? How can we think that He would have provided for no illuminating lamp, Siraj Munir, to keep that way always illuminated? And by the stars, too, do people find their way. Numerous signs in both the universe and man's own being are mentioned in order to drive home the fact that no matter which direction man might look, you will find everything in the universe corroborating the teaching of the Prophet, peace be upon him. That God is one and unique, and that He alone ought to be served. There is nothing in the universe which lends support to notions of polytheism or atheism. In this context, reference is made to man's own creation. One wonders how a drop of fluid was transformed into a moving, talkative, and even wrangling being called man. How a variety of animals were created with their hair, skin, blood, milk, flesh, and backs, all in accordance with man's multifarious requirements, including his aesthetic taste. We also see rainfall coming down from the sky. We see how the earth is able to produce every kind of fruit and grain, as well as plants that produce fodder. We also notice how the natural phenomena are interrelated and at the same time correspond to man's need. The constant alternation of day and night, the regulated movements of the moon, the sun, and the stars are all closely linked with the production of food and are conducive to man's other interests. Likewise, we observe the seas, which provide a great deal that satisfies man's physical and aesthetic requirements. We also find how the vast masses of water have been subjected to a set of laws. Thanks to all this, man is able to boldly steer his way across them from one land to another, voyaging and trading. We also see mountains securely anchored in the earth, raising their heads skyward, and realize how immensely useful they are to mankind. Our attention is also drawn to the numerous signs and landmarks all over the universe, right from the structure of the earth's surface to the great heights of the heavens and the usefulness of all this for man. All these provide incontrovertible evidence of the fact that the entire scheme has been planned by one and the same being. It is He who has designed everything in accordance with His grand scheme, and it is He who has created them according to that design. It is He who constantly brings new things into being in such a manner that they are not at all discordant with the total scheme of creation. Again, it is He who operates and regulates this gigantic system. One indeed has to be utterly stupid or stubborn to believe that all this is the outcome of a mere accident, or to fancy that the different parts and functions of such a well-ordered universe were created by or are under the control of a variety of gods.
أَفَمَن يَخْلُقُ كَمَن لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ.
Is then the one who creates like the one who does not create? Will you not then take heed? Is then the one who creates like the one who does not create? This argument is addressed to the polytheists.
The polytheists believe, as did the polytheists of Mecca and elsewhere, that God alone is the creator of the universe. They also acknowledge that the deities whom they associate with God have created nothing. This being so, how can those who have no share in creation have the same authority as God in the realm of his own creation? How can those who have not created have the same rights as God against his creatures? How can one be led to believe that the power of him who creates is the same as the power of those who have not created? Or that the creator and the created belong to the same species, so much so that the relationship between creator and created might be that of parent and offspring? For were you to compute the favors of Allah, you will not be able to compute them. Surely, Allah is ever forgiving, most merciful.
Surely, Allah is ever forgiving, most merciful.
Much has been left unsaid with regard to the two statements in the above verse, for the message is too obvious to require any further elaboration. It is enough to point out, after enumerating the many bounties of God, that He is ever forgiving and most merciful. This statement underscores the fact that man owes God a profound debt of gratitude in view of all his favors, and yet man is prone to be ungrateful, treacherous, faithless, and rebellious towards his benefactor. But God is forbearing and compassionate in the extreme. Despite man's ingratitude, God continues to lavish his favors year after year on ungrateful individuals and century after century on nations that are rebellious against him. There are many who, even though they deny the existence of God, continue to receive God's favors. There are also those who associate others with the Creator in his attributes, authority, and rights. They also thank others than the one true God for the benevolence that he alone shows them. All this notwithstanding, they do not cease to receive God's favors. There are also those who verbally recognize God to be the creator and the benefactor, and yet remain rebellious and disobedient to him. Despite this, they continue to enjoy God's bounties and favors in full measure.
وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ
Allah knows all that you conceal and all that you disclose. Allah knows all that you conceal and all that you disclose. No one should be so stupid as to believe that if such people continue to receive favors despite their denial of God, despite their polytheistic beliefs and practice, or their disobedience of Him, that this is because God is not aware of man's blasphemous attitude, nor does this indicate a chaotic state of affairs in God's realm. God's bestowal of bounties on all represents God's forbearance and forgiveness, despite the fact that He has full knowledge of not only people's apparent misdeeds, but also of their hidden misdeeds. In fact, God even knows the intentions which lie hidden in men's hearts. This is the kind of generosity and magnanimity which befits only the Lord of the universe.
وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ
Those whom they call upon beside Allah have created nothing. Rather, they themselves were created.
أَمْوَاتٌ غَيْرُ أَحْيَاءٍ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ
They are dead, not living. They do not even know when they will be resurrected. They do not even know when they will be resurrected. The words of this verse make it quite plain that the false gods whose godhead is being denied and refuted here are not angels or jinn or Satan or idols made of wood and stone. Instead, they are human beings who at some stage in the past were consigned to graves. This is so because both angels and devils are alive. Hence, the Quranic description of them as those who are dead, not living, does not apply to them. Likewise, the statement that they do not even know when they will be resurrected also excludes the images made of wood and stone as objects of worship. Hence, the expression, those whom they call upon besides Allah, inevitably refers to the people of the past, to prophets, saints, martyrs, righteous men, and all human beings of extraordinary stature whom their devotees call upon for the fulfillment of their needs.
It might be claimed by some that gods of this genre were not found in pre-Islamic Arabia. Such a statement, in our opinion, only betrays unfamiliarity with the Arabia of that time. It is well known that there were Christians and Jews in Arabia who belonged to the tribes of Rabia, Kalb, Taghlib, Qada'a, Kinana, Harth, Qab, and Kinda. It is also well known that they were engrossed in the worship of prophets, saints, and martyrs. Likewise, many of the deities worshipped by the pagan Arabs were in fact human beings who were initially venerated for their goodness. Subsequently, they were turned into deities. There is a report in Al-Bukhari on the authority of Ibn Abbas that Wad, Suwa, Yaghut, Ya'uq, and Nasr were all names of virtuous people who were later verified. Likewise, there is a tradition from Aisha that both Isaf and Naila were human beings. Similar reports were also found about Al-Lat and Al-Uzza. It has even been reported that all these were so dear to God that he spent winter with Al-Lat and summer with Al-Uzza.